Hello. Can you hear me? Oh, no, you can.
Going on.
Yeah. You were just reconnecting to the audio and I already started talking. So
That's okay. You got me now.
yeah, perfect. That's a cool office.
It's just my room, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, with a whiteboard and all.
It's 6 a.m. right now in the US here.
Ooh, crazy.
Where are you at?
Denmark.
Okay. So I knew you were somewhere around that.
Yeah,
What time
I'm German
there?
actually. I'm German, but living in Denmark now.
Okay, I thought you were German when I was telling my dad I was coming on this podcast, and when he was younger, he was like 16 or 17, like back-to-back summers, he spent the full summer playing soccer over there in Germany, lived with the family and things, and he still talks about it as being the best days of his life being over there and hanging out. He's like, I was 16 years old. I'm a teenage boy. I could go over there. We could drink. All the girls loved me because I was American. I was different. He's like, what better place could a young 16-year-old boy be than over there? He had a good time.
So I don't know if you, yeah, you checked out the pod, right? You know, like roughly the concept, and it's just very casual and just trying to talk to interesting people that are usually not interviewed, right? Because I really hate that every podcast is just talking to the same people over and over again. And you saw I already started recording because you never know when it starts getting good. So I better start too early than too late. But if it's cool, I think we can dive right in.
Yeah, will we be putting this on YouTube or anything like that? I
No,
can
no,
throw a
no.
whiteboard behind me if
No, no,
okay.
no. No worries. Just audio. I
Let
actually
it
can't
run.
read it, to be honest. Like
It's actually, I was helping my wife film a VSL last night. She's a fitness influencer, I guess you would call her. So she has the whiteboard was like a background prop in the side. So she has stuff up there for like metabolic boost, fat loss, recomposition. I don't know,
yeah,
all
this is
those
also
things.
why you have like the proper video equipment behind you, right? Like
Yeah,
the
I
light.
actually have. I don't know if you can see it. You see that huge
Yeah.
light, things like that. Yeah, because I just finished my own VSL, and the guy I was working with, I was like, you know what? We might as well. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to invest in doing this with you. I'm going to do everything right. I'm going to buy all the things I need for the future too. I'm not going to half-ass anything I do. Like, let's just do it right and make it happen.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, do you currently have a VSL on your site or?
Yeah, ju it just went up like yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, curious how this goes because it's one of the things like everyone is telling you need, but I'm kind of skeptical. We don't have one, so
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been on your guys' side. I think it's mainly like a tailwind front end, right?
yeah.
Yeah.
Super simple.
So my thought process was for me having a VSL was that, so you go on, so you guys have a lot of like social proof through Twitter and things like that, right? So like people that are coming to you through Twitter are probably like a pretty warm lead, in my opinion. Like I would be a warm lead from seeing the results you guys get, just following you guys for a while. But the way that I see a VSL, if someone just random lands on my page, and we will have some more just organic traffic that comes through my website as the way that we source leads through Facebook groups and things like that. But there's like, there's dozens of other people that offer similar services. They do Google Ads for service-based businesses. They do local SEO and things like that. And they land on their websites and it's a brochure, right? It's all text. So it's just like, how do you separate yourself on that website? You have some social proof on there, maybe a client testimonial, but the way that you really separate yourself is having the human part of it. So when they come onto my website, they can watch a minute and a half video of me talking, letting them know my partner, he owns a service-based business, he owns a dumpster rental business. We know what this is like. We're not just complete outsiders coming in offering you these marketing services. We have experience within the industry, and here's how we helped others do it, and here's the process that we work through, and we can help you do the same. It's a little bit different from a website that's a brochure to like an actual sales person that's like working for you all the time on the website. That's how I view it. But I think it's part of like the sales funnel as we start doing like paid ads and things like that. It's kind of like the defense strategy, right? Like your ad that you record is like your offense. You're pushing that into people's face. But then that organic traffic that comes to you, that's like your defense player. He's always there to like hold the guard there. If that
Yeah,
makes sense, that's how I think about it.
no, that makes perfect sense. And I mean, when you have an offer with a lot of competition, as you said, you have to stand out. And maybe it's just your vibe, right? And it's funny because we get that a lot because our offer is also kind of commoditized, right? A lot of people doing similar things, and then how do people decide, right? And of course, you have people charging very low prices, making ridiculous promises. And if you want to play that game, but most people obviously can look right through it.
Yeah.
And then it's more like, yeah, I trust these people. And I mean, you're American. That's a competitive advantage, right? And you have to use it. Like anyone can write proper English nowadays with all the tools. But yeah, actually having your face and your American accent right on the page, people work that way, right? I mean, I can totally see that working.
Right. It's definitely, so at least for the guys that we target in our business, we mainly target junk removal, dumpster rental guys. That's just our niche because my partners, you know, he owns a business in that industry. But like the blue collar guys, blue collar workers, definitely like that's a huge selling point for them because, you know, everyone that has a business is constantly being, they're under pressure from whether it's cold email, cold calls, whatever it is, Facebook messages, you know, they're all under pressure from people. And they definitely just have a trust of someone that's from their homeland that they can connect with, like some sort of personal connection. Like if you're at least from a similar geographical location, there's a level of trust that's already built there. And I think it's like those walls are breaking down for people like us. But when you're working with someone who's 40 and 50 years old and they're a blue collar worker, that definitely is still a sticking point for them. You know, like for me, you know, if we work together, it wouldn't matter to me at all. But it's definitely just like the change of generation, you know, because we grew up with the internet versus like the internet coming into their lives later, and they're still adapting to it versus, you know, it's just like it's an integral part of my life. I always say I'm an internet troll. Like I love hanging out in different communities, like learn. I'm in so many different communities, from coding communities to agency communities to investing communities. You know, it's just the ability to have access to these people that you don't have access to in your daily life. Because I know I followed you and Ryan pretty close. You guys have gave me more motivation and inspiration than you know of. You probably have no idea. When I started getting into this side of Twitter, I found you guys. I found Ryan first, which led me to finding you. And you guys were just, I was just like, had the idea. I was getting up and running, getting some of the back end operations set up. And you guys were just hitting like 100,000 ARR at that time. And I found podcasts with you guys and listened to you, because Ryan, I know, is also from a more rural area, like a farmer and things like that. Like my backyard, if I look out to my right, there's a cornfield there right now. So like that was like a geographical, you know, trust, you know, like this guy's similar to me, similar upbringing and things like that.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I'm very happy to have a co-founder from the US. I think it's a it's an unfair competitive advantage for sure. So, I mean, I would be curious, like, what's the backstory? You are kind of mentioned you have partners, and how did this business came to be, Striker Digital?
Yeah, so maybe a little bit longer of a backstory is that I've always had something that I'm working towards. Like I can't not have something that I'm working towards to get better at all the time. And through my life, I've been viewing it through seasons. So I had a season where I was a bodybuilder. You know, you're looking at me now, you're like, this guy was never a bodybuilder, but I was. And that lasted like 3 years, and I'm planning to be a competitive bodybuilder. And then a couple shoulder surgeries hit. So that kind of put an end to that. When that happened, kind of crushed me. You know, I lost my identity because everybody knew me as this guy, you know, as the bodybuilder, my look and everything. Like I got the shoulder surgeries, lost it all, like just back to your average Joe. So I went through like a weird phase after that of trying to find an identity and what I wanted to work at and work towards. I found investing. I fell really deep into researching small and micro cap stocks, so stocks worth less than 300 million. I dove really deep into those. I worked with Tyler DuPont of Augury Research. He has, it's evolved a little bit now, but he has basically a research as a service. So private investors, some institutional investors pay a membership fee to get access to the stock research. And I was the guy on the back end just providing a lot of that research. Did that for a couple of years. I didn't think it was as scalable as a different business model, which is then when I found this side of Twitter and guys building agencies and things like that, where I could charge, you know, a significant multiple of what we could charge a 20-year-old that's paying for an investment research service, you know? So I came into that January 1st. I was like, all right, I'm locked in for 1 year. Nothing else matters. The only thing I want to focus on is building this business 1 year all in. But now we're 7 months into it. And it's drastically changed my life. It changed me as a person too, because I'm sure you probably felt this too. As your business actually starts getting traction, you're like, I have to become the guy now. You know, you have to like take this stance in your head. Your ego has to change. You have to let ego take over to an extent. You have to have the humility to go back and forth. But you do, if you're going to build something big, you have to have some sort of ego in my mind. But like I said, that humility is also an important aspect to it. But it's evolved me as a person, the way I communicate, the way I think through problems. So yeah, that's kind of the backstory that led me into it. Pretty much focused on getting out of a 9-to-5. You know, I want my own creativity freedom. You know, I just want to all day long. I love to work on things, and that's all I want to do all the time. So this is like the stepping stone, the springboard to get me out of that job and be, you know, full time doing everything I want to do.
Yeah, no, perfect. I mean, it's same for me. And a lot of times I've thought, man, I could earn a lot more by just getting a regular job, especially in the beginning. But at the same time, yeah, this is not what I care about. I'm very happy to earn less, to have the ups and downs in exchange for every morning I wake up and I can do whatever I want, really, right? When I think this makes sense, we work on that. And it's just awesome. Yeah. So how did you end up with a niche you're in now?
Yeah, so I started out, my partner, we've known each other from that investing community, the Augury Research Investing Community, since like 2018. And he's just pretty much like a natural born salesman. He's really good at communicating with people. He has a large network within the area. He lives right outside of New York City. And he just has a large in-person network, and he has a lot of trust within his community. And so it kind of just came together. It wasn't like, you know, we didn't have this grand master plan when we're starting, right? We didn't even like necessarily agree that we're going to work together. He's like, hey, I got someone we can build a website for. Hey, I got somebody we can do this for. And that happened. And then we're like, let's just keep this rolling. And we picked up momentum, and we started working together. And we took like, we have websites out there for like landscapers or restaurants and things like this. But the easiest thing for us to sell, and the people we like working with, do junk removal. So they're the type of guys, say you were moving or somebody in your family passed away and you need to get rid of their house, and they have a bunch of stuff in there that isn't anything you're going to keep. So you want, you know, you don't want to do all the heavy lifting and haul it to the dump and things. So you call these guys, say, hey, let me send you a picture of this. They say, hey, $500. I'll scoop all that up. I'll throw it in my truck. I'll take it to the dump, you know, done deal. So that's one of the services that he offered initially before he got a lot more. He got true size dumpsters, you know, so if someone's doing a construction project or things like that, now it's like that dumpster that sits in your driveway that people throw all the scrap in and things like that. He does that, and he has all those connections, and it's such a simple industry to understand. You go get junk, you take it out, you take it to the dump, you know, it's so simple. So it was easy for me to come in and have a base understanding and learn how to sell it from my side too. So because he has that industry expertise, it's like a form of social proof there for when we are on a sales call or things like that. As I mentioned at the beginning, you know, he's like, hey, I do this too. I currently operate this business. You know, we're not complete outsiders. So we just thought, you know, we were working with other people up until like 2 months ago, and we still are. If someone comes to us, you know, because the service we provide is the same. It's just like in the cold email, you know, you're doing the same back end service, but the messaging changes. Right. So, you know, we can apply it across all these different niches, but I think people really appreciate it when they see that like you completely focus on what they do. They always want to, the outsider wants to work with the person who's viewed as the expert in the industry. So we just thought, you know, let's just niche down. This one niche is big enough for the both of us, you know, even bigger than us. Every single town has at least one junk removal company and one dumpster rental company across the entire United States. So, you know, there's a massive TAM there just within that. And, you know, bigger towns have multiple companies where it's even more competitive. So then they're seeking these services that we offer to get ahead of that competition. So, yeah, just a lot of this just kind of fell together. There was no grandmaster plan. It just opportunities came towards us, and we've just taken advantage of them and made the shift that we needed to.
Yeah, it's super interesting because it's I think a very similar story with Ryan and me. Actually, he's like the one with a sales background and like some industry experience, actually having worked a sales job at different companies and all that. And we also started like super low key, just said, yeah, let's give it a shot, right? Let's just try if there is something there, and had no idea what we were doing. And then just suddenly something, more and more good stuff was showing up, right? And more opportunities. And we just took it from there. So yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah, it just kind of rolls naturally. It just happens. Yeah, I feel like, because we've worked with businesses in the industry, and they've had the grand master plan, and they made all these big investments. For example, we worked with this solar panel company out of California. And so he does solar panel cleaning for residential and commercial properties. But prior to starting his business, he didn't have a ton of capital, but he decided to invest a ton of money in getting this van, getting it wrapped, you know, all branded, everything, doing all these things, spending a ton of money, and then trying to get customers and things like that. And I think in this space of Twitter or software agency, you know, we kind of have this understanding, you just move fast and you might duct tape some things together to get started, but there's no point in building out everything and then not even having one customer, because you don't even know what you need to build out on your back end until you get a couple clients. You know, you don't have the understanding because you haven't done it before. But you know, that was a significant time and capital investment he put in prior to even having a customer. And you know, we had a conversation and I was like, you know, I do it, I think about it this way, this is my perspective about it. And I feel like what we're talking about now is like, we both just fell into this and just thought, let's push forward first, get a couple clients, see if we can get them results. Results came for them, and put it together since, and became a lot more professional since those times.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a very good point. And basically everything is a waste of time in the beginning, which isn't just talking to like potential new clients, talking to current clients and delivering for them, right, yourself. And if you try to do all the high level stuff prematurely, it's just, you put it in the dumpster later anyway, right? Like if you write SOPs, for example, or do any of that very early, it's completely useless, because everything is changing all the time anyway, right? You're still figuring it out. What is it actually? Where do you provide your value? How do you do it? And yeah, I mean, in theory, yeah, most people, at least in our little corner, have heard it, but doing it in practice is still, I think, very, very hard, because a lot of the other stuff is just more fun than just...
Yeah, it's just stimulating, right? It's like this dopamine stimulating release, feeling like you're really doing something, but not actually moving the needle. And because I've been there and I've experienced it, so I know what that feels like. And I know how to pull myself out of that now, because it does feel like, you know, you're doing something really cool, different, you're ahead of the curve and things like that. But it's like, you know, this doesn't matter if you don't get a client. You can have all this stuff, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And this also for me includes like all the big planning, right? Like really trying to come up with some beautiful plan. Yeah, I'm going to collaborate with this guy, and then we're going to offer this and this. It will not work, right? Just to keep it low key and start talking to people, and then just see what emerges, right?
Yeah,
that's definitely the way to go.
I listened to your last podcast with Grant, I think his title's like Chief Automation Officer or something like that for Hampton. I listen to the MFM podcasts often. But I know you guys were talking a lot about your back-end operations, because obviously, you know, that's his whole role. But I've seen you tweet, and I think you talked a little bit about with him of like, there's like several different tools that you have to use, and you have some information over here, and you have information in your main thing, like your main CRM. But then you have like maybe Notion Docs or Google Docs, and it's like all split apart. And I was having this conversation with a friend yesterday, and I thought to myself, I don't think that problem... You tell me what you think. I don't think that problem can be solved. And I don't think it can be solved, because if someone had a product that could, you know, handle all of these things, the product would almost be unusable, because it would be doing too much. It would be.
There is a product like this. It's called ClickUp, and it sucks.
I know that's what I was thinking that you were going to say, because I've seen you talk about that.
Yeah.
So it's ClickUp's like a CRM. So like you can see your deal flow and things through it.
Not really, but it's primarily a project management tool, but they try to build everything in there. Yeah, you can use it as a CRM, and you can even replace Slack with that, and even schedule calls in there. Like they try to build a all-in-one software, but yeah, it's just like a they are struggling to get even like the most basic stuff right now. Like when you're creating a task, it just vanishes sometimes. And this is like the worst thing that can happen to a project management software, right? That you don't have confidence that the stuff you actually put in there is in there, right? And yeah, they build, of course, like AI and whatever, which is completely useless, but you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
Was it you? I think you, I read your newsletter too. Didn't you write AI as an anti-signal? Was that you that wrote that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For me, at this point it is.
That resonated with me a lot, because I was thinking at that time, I still have an idea. I'm just not pursuing it at this time for a dumpster rental CRM. You know, there's one or two out there right now, but they're kind of asleep at the wheel. You know, the UI UX is like from 2008. It's complex. These guys that we work with, we know what they need, and we know they need simple. They only need their core features, and that's it. You don't need to integrate email marketing for them. You don't need to. None of that. They just need to track the back end of their business and make payments and make it easy. And I forget what I said. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, I have that idea. So I was thinking about like what makes a good software. And I was thinking the downfall of a lot of softwares, in my opinion, is, you know, people on Twitter will say, you know, once they take VC funding, it becomes this and that. And maybe that's true. But I think in general, they just try and do too much. It's just like you have your good core set of features. Just be the best at them. You know, you can't bend over to every single customer request, you know, and I think a lot do that. They get a request from a customer like, okay, listen, let's implement this right away. And another one, implement this right away. But it's like, you know, you can just say no, just like, hey, sorry, we're not going to focus on that. We're really good at these couple things. And this is what really drives, you know, these are the needle movers for the people we work with. And we just want to focus on continually making these better. You know, and I'm sure people will disagree with that, but I found that to be true in my personal use of things as well. Like right now, Notion is just like continually, it's still good. You know, it's still simple to use, but they're continually adding so much. And then eventually I'm just going to get lost in it. You know, I only need it for the basics of it, pretty much just like the nesting of files and things like that. Just like kind of me organizing my brain a little bit in there.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And again, I think it's the same problem that this is kind of boring, right? Just keep focusing on the same stuff over and over again, make it a little bit better. And obviously, I totally get that. Also in big companies, this is the stuff that gets you promoted, right? If you push like a big feature and if you can say, I sliced off 10 milliseconds of this, yeah, cool, right? But this is not something you can really put on your resume. And it's just tough. I wish there was more software that just did one thing really, really well instead of, yeah, all these tools doing everything at once. But it seems like almost, I can't really think of any software using right now that has not integrated any AI. Yeah. Like really, I can't.
So you're technical, right? You code?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah. I spent 2022. That was kind of my in-between year leaving that investing side of the world prior to this. I spent 2022. I worked in a 9-to-5 and I thought my 1 year, I'm going to learn how to code. I was like, I'm going to do a minimum 10 hours of coding per week, every single week, you know, no phone, phones in the other room, no distractions, headphones on and do it. I did like 550 hours of coding and just like, you know, I'm not an expert. I can't go out and, you know, build some crazy software. But I know enough, like, I think it's such a valuable skill to just know enough to be dangerous, know enough to throw together a front end and connect to an API. You know, just having that basic skill set for coding, it just gives you a lot more opportunities and ideas of things that are possible. And maybe you don't act on them, but just having that like in your toolbox is really valuable. Are you building things on the back end for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a huge unlock, especially, I mean, if you want to build something customer facing, that's a very different beast, I think, because then it has to be secure and you have to think about bugs and all these things in a very different way. But running our agency, like all the code I write is just for us on the back end, just to deliver better results to clients. And there are a lot of, yeah, just little internal tools that we use. And yeah, I think this is very, very awesome being able to do this. And also we we're using integrations that do not exist, right? If you can just use something like Zapier or Make, then you're very limited, right, by what is available. But if you can code just a little bit, you can actually look at like the network traffic of different sites, like what API are they using internally, and then you can basically stitch any two tools together, no matter what API they have, no matter what Zapier they have. You can automate anything, and that is a huge unlock for us. Which, yeah, I mean, it's really true. With these kind of tools, basically, our people can, and we have like 5 people doing the work, where I'm sure other agencies need 20 people, right, for the same stuff, just because we have these things in place. And yeah, I also love doing it. Obviously, like writing automations is so much fun.
Yeah,
and people it like the team members are so happy when you can save them hours of their time of like boring work. And I mean, we're paying people good money, right? And it's just a waste of money also if they do any kind of boring work. So I want them to focus like 95% of their time on truly creative tasks, like client facing work, which you maybe can but shouldn't automate, right?
Yep. Do you have a fear kind of in the back of your head that, because I don't know the answer to this as I'm asking it or anything, but so you're stitching these together on the back end through another company's internal API. Do you have a fear in the back of your mind that this is going to lead to some sort of like tech debt in the future, that they're going to make a change that's going to result in you having to make 4 changes on your end? Is that something that it could happen or that you think about?
It happens all the time. But yeah, the truth is this happens also when you're using Zapier. And I think it's even more frustrating there. We're using Zapier for some stuff, but then you just get an error message suddenly, right? It was running and running for weeks, for months, and suddenly it isn't. And there's nothing you can do until they fix the stuff on their end. Whereas I can just, yeah, look at the code, fix like the 2 lines they changed, and have it up and running again in 2 minutes, basically. And yeah, no, I think that is always a concern no matter what you build, but I would rather be in control.
Is Make like a Zapier?
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah,
same thing, but cheaper. That's the whole pitch.
Yeah, because Zapier's they've probably taken funding at this point, I'm guessing. They'd have to be like a multi-billion-dollar valuation, I would guess. I mean, and it is, anyone that had the foresight to build that product, you know, to make non-technical people be able to make these sort of automations and just make their workflow more efficient, just anything, I guess, is anything, all right? That's every single business. If you can make people more efficient and save them time, really, you know, you're either making them more efficient and saving them time or making them more money if you're running a business, right? Those are like the main problems that you solve as a business owner.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're starting an agency or any kind of work, it should be in one of these buckets, right? Bring them more customers, help them convert more, or help them save money by streamlining, doing more with less, right? I agree. I mean, one thing we haven't covered, it's like the blind spot. Like, what is actually your offer?
Yeah, so we do. So mainly we're moving into more ad-based, because we do, well, one, like just simple things, you know, I'll build website. A lot of guys are starting companies, they need a website. I'll build them a website, you know, no problem. But you talked about like the offer being commoditized. Websites are definitely commoditized, especially with the amount of no-code builders. So when I first thought, I was like, you know what, maybe I can, you know, when I was thinking small initially, I was like, you know what, maybe I could build people websites, just charge them like $100 a month for the website. You know, and we do have some people like that. The people come to us because it's easy on our end. We handle the hosting. They need an update, you know, I'll change some text on the website, no problem. That was the initial thought. And then local SEO became the next. But the thing is, it's a little bit harder. I want to say it is harder to quantify. A lot of people you have to find the right people, because a lot of people don't have the patience. So you need to make sure you're working with people that have the budget to invest into this. They're willing to have the foresight to see multiple months and multiple years out the results that it can yield them. So we've actually started moving more into Google Ads, because we can easily quantify the results we're getting them. And anytime that you have an offer and you can almost get people results instantly, it's the best offer, because people are immediately happy. They have something tangible in front of them. Okay, I spent $1,000 a month on ads this month, and I got $2,500 in revenue off these ads. So basically, the offer is evolving, and I'm actually fledging out the process right now because I'm trying to write some longer form copy for ads. But it's basically going to be like, you know, in the last 6 months, you know, and as the company grows, this part of the hook of it will change a little bit. But it'll be like, in the last 6 months, we've spent $500,000 in ad spend for service-based businesses and generated a multiple, you know, we don't have an exact revenue number because it's not like you're running e-commerce ads and you can see the click through and see, like, you know, a lot of these deals happen through a handshake and through cash off the side. So we don't know the true revenue number, but what we do know is that our clients report to us that they're seeing a multiple return on their spend. So we know, you know, successfully we're moving in the right direction. If someone's getting 20 conversions in 1 week, which a conversion, the way we track it through Google Ads is if someone clicks through, makes a phone call, and the phone call lasts at least 30 seconds, it counts as a conversion. So if we're getting people 15, 20 conversions a week, so say 60 conversions a month, and they were getting zero prior because they weren't running Google Ads at all, we know we're making a significant impact on their end. So basically, the offer will be like, you know, we've spent X amount of money to deliver these results through these three core strategies. We're building a proprietary data set, running split tests on different landing pages. So we can, you know, we can collect that data set and see if there's any true statistical significance to a specific landing page and the conversion. So there's no one out there in our industry that's doing this at all, that's like willing to dive that deep into data. They run the ads, they give them, maybe they even give them a report. People don't even give these people reports. So they don't know that they're actually doing anything and they're optimizing and like what keywords the clicks are coming from, et cetera. So I guess long answer, because I'm thinking through this as I tell you, because I'm working through it now, but it's pretty much going to be an ad agency moving forward.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Because basically in these businesses, so you work with people the same way. I'm sure you have clients just like this. So these guys, they don't really get recurring clients. Like maybe they get with a realtor and that's someone that's recurring, but these guys don't have a recurring nature to their business. So every day they wake up and it's hunter gatherer. They have to hunt. They only eat what they kill. So we're providing that for them. You know, they went from having to hunt all day long, fulfill everything on the back end of their business, fulfill the service, keep the customer happy. And then they would have to come home and try and learn Google Ads. And it's just like impossible. You can't do everything, you know, and that's not your strong point, the technical side. Your strong point's physical, shaking hands, doing the work, you know, keeping people happy. So then we fulfill that technical side for you and generate you leads and keep your phone ringing. And then you only need to do what you're best at. You only need to fulfill the service and keep your customers happy in person.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I think what I always find fascinating is seeing like these different levels of market sophistication, right? Where yes, like running Google Ads is super commoditized, right? But the way, and there are different ways to tackle this challenge, right? You can give like guarantees and like come up with very creative offers, right? You don't pay until X, money back, whatever. There are many ways to package this, but the way you solved it is just going very, very niche, right? And this is like another very good strategy. You're not doing Google Ads, you're doing Google Ads for this specific type of company, and you know what you're doing. You have proof, right? The social proof, you're industry experts, and that is that is why it's still working and why it's working for you, right?
Yeah. Eventually, you know, I would like to have an offer, and we're working towards it, of like X amount of per leads per month, or you don't pay. We just are still at a point where we need to collect more data for us to be able to, you know, I mean, we won't be offering the service and people won't be paying with us. And we're retaining pretty much everybody. This has been retained since we started. So, you know, they're obviously getting rewarded on their investment. But we just still need a little bit more time to collect this data and see what the optimal budget is across different locations to say, you know, if you come in and you have this budget, we are confident that we're going to be able to deliver this for you. So we still just need a little bit more time on our end, only being 7 months in with the offer evolving from websites to this. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun because this is a constant iteration. You're constantly getting better every day. You know, like the weeks fly by when you're working hard like this, and you look back like 2 months ago and you're like, oh man, who was I back then? Like, what was I? How did I think through that problem back then versus how I think about it now, you know? And that's just like personal growth. But I think, you know, everyone doing what we do has those kind of insights like that.
Yeah, that's the best stuff. I love that, right? When it happens and I actually look back and think, damn, Jacob was so dumb back then. So we're running out of time. I love Zoom for having this forcing function. So like 40-minute limit.
Yep. Yeah, it's perfect podcast length, in my opinion.
I agree. It's perfect. This was super fun, super interesting. And yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, awesome. I'm happy to be here. This was a good time. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, talk soon. Bye.
See ya.